Torah, in the end of Sefer Devarim, part of Zosah Bracha, concludes by discussing the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah tells us, "Vayikbor oso b'nei, by Gai be'eretz Moav, mul beis Peor, v'lo yada ishes kvuraso ad hayom hazeh," that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, but we are not sure where exactly Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. And even amongst the Mefarshim and the Sfarno and others, there are discussions whether Moshe Rabbeinu was really buried on a mountain or if he was buried in the valley, and it's really not so clear exactly where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Why does the Torah end by discussing the death of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Bechor Shor points out a very beautiful idea. He says the Torah begins and ends with Gemilas Chasadim. The Torah begins in Sefer Bereishis, discussing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for Adam and Chava. And then the Torah, at the end here, discusses Gemilas Chasadim, the burial itself of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who buries Moshe Rabbeinu? V'yikbor oso. Who is going to be burying him? So Rashi quotes a machlokes in Chazal, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was burying Moshe, or a very wild idea that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever this means, actually buried himself. What's interesting is the following question. Why exactly is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, that we are not sure where Moshe was buried? Why exactly is it that Moshe's burial place is hidden? And it's hidden ak dekach, that the Medrash even tells us, the Sifri, here in Devarim, tells us that when the Roman general was going to look for Moshe Rabbeinu's death, that for Moshe Rabbeinu's place of death, looking for his makom kvura, they really couldn't find it. When they were lower down, it looked like it was higher up. When they were higher up, it looked like it was lower down. And it seems like, in a certain sense, it's almost impossible to find the location of his beis hakvura. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu's place is really hidden? Not only that, but the Netziv points out, based on his commentary in Sefer Bereishis, that in general, Tzadikim want their makom kvura to be known. They want to have a nice, regular makom kvura so that it can be a place that's theirs, so that it can be a place that's a makom. They want to be buried in a makom that is a holy place, like being buried in Eretz Yisrael, that they want to be buried near other people. So in general, tzadikim want to have a clear, identifiable makom kvura in a particular kind of a location. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, that his place is going to be missing? What exactly is behind this? So there are two approaches that we're going to speak about, each of which has a lot of relevance. The Ralbag writes in his Perush al HaTorah, one of the ideas, that there was a concern that Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the greatest people ever. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Yugim Leikarim, we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was unparalleled. Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzidkus may have been unparalleled. And as a result, because Moshe Rabbeinu did such amazing things, there could have been a concern that people would make Moshe into a god, that they would worship him if they knew where he was buried. In order to prevent Moshe being worshipped in such a way, so what ends up happening is that they remove that they don't have, we don't know where Moshe is buried, and that way no one could worship Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one idea of the Ralbag that definitely fits with those interpretations, that was part of the Chet HaEgel, was attributing to Moshe Rabbeinu almost godlike qualities and the like, and that really it's important that Moshe Rabbeinu not be treated that way, but rather we know the Ribono Shel Olam is really in charge. There is a second idea, however, the Maharsha and Mesach HaSotin, Daf Gimel Amid Beis, the Meshech Chachma here, in a similar way we'll speak about in a minute, develop a different idea, which is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu's Makom Kvura not known? That's because, says the Maharsha, Moshe Rabbeinu, even when he was alive, so most people have a spiritual component and a physical component, but Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's their nefesh and their guf, but Moshe Rabbeinu, even when he was alive, he functioned in many ways like a malach. He could go for 40 days without any food or drink. He was poresh min ha'isha. He removed himself from being with Tzipora. And therefore, because Moshe Rabbeinu's guf was so insignificant, then when he died, says the Maharsha, even his body, we're not sure where it really is, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't leave physical remnants. That Moshe Rabbeinu was so spiritual that he left no physical remnants, and that's why the Makom Kvura is missing. Not that we don't make him into a god, but rather for a different explanation, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Kedusha, Moshe Rabbeinu's holiness, is such that the physical body that he was going to leave, for most people, they leave physical remnants of themselves, because Moshe, like a malach, was so spiritual, there was nothing really there at all. The Meshech Chachma even adds a very beautiful idea, that the Medrash tells us in the Sifri, that when we say v'lo, that no one knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is actually buried, v'lo de ish es kvuraso. So the Sifri points out that Moshe is actually called an ish, and that even Moshe himself, the Sifri says, doesn't know where he's buried. What does this mean, that even Moshe himself doesn't know where he's buried? So the Meshech Chachma suggests a very similar idea. Moshe Rabbeinu is very spiritual, And in general, the Gemara tells the Masech HaShabbos that the first 12 months after a neshama passes away, it's ola v'yoredes. It goes up and down a lot because kil nefesh is kishor el haguf v'yachas ba. That the nefesh, even though it's moved on, even though it's left the guf, it still feels a connection to the guf. So it comes back all the time in order just to, because it still feels pulled to the physical world, whatever it is that means. Most people, says the Meshech Chachma, have that, because they feel a connection to their guf. So they're still coming back from time to time, and the neshama itself is still pulled, in a certain sense, to the makom kavura. What made Moshe Rabbeinu unique was Moshe's spirituality. What made Moshe Rabbeinu unique was his level of kedusha, his neshama's lack of connection to the guf. So that Moshe Rabbeinu was someone, because he had no connection at all, arba'am yom below lechem umayim, that davar Hashem im opanim al panim, because of this, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, it was a complete break, neshama and body. And that's what the Medrash means, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't even know where it is, because after he dies, Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama was totally separate. His relationship to his guf was very, very different. In that sense, Vizos HaBracha concludes with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Death of Moshe Rabbeinu is one that the Bechor Shor reminds us, teaches us about the chesed, potential chesed, the Rebbeinu Sholem, to bury Moshe Rabbeinu, a very important theme throughout Chumash. But why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu's makom kvura is not clear for the Ralbag, so that we don't relate to Moshe Rabbeinu as a god? And for the Marsha, the Meshech Chachma, what it really means is that normally you leave a physical remnant afterwards. Moshe Rabbeinu was so spiritual that when he died, there was no physical remnant. Lo yada ish kvura so. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't really have a makom kvura because his spiritual side was so dominant that there really isn't even a physical remnant. Very, very important ideas at the end of Chumash. And hopefully as we end Chumash, we have the model of Moshe Rabbeinu as someone that was so spiritual and so not connected to guf. And it's important to, in general, the Simchas Torah time coming, to be able to be cognizant of obviously sanctifying your guf, but also knowing the paramount importance of our neshamas.